We as Christians are a singing people. We sing in time of joy, and we sing in time of sorrow. We sing in the everyday, and we sing in the celebrations. Now, as I mentioned, different churches approach singing differently. For some churches, worship and the singing is the central element of their service. Sometimes they'll do a little bit of preaching there and there. It's like maybe 5-10 minutes just to get people back into singing. So some churches are built worship-centered. Some churches, the singing is sort of the preparation for the sermon. And the main element of the service is the sermon, while the singing sort of prepares them for the sermon. And some churches, the singing and the sermon prepare your hearts for communion. The central element of the service is the Lord's Supper. And I'm not here from Seattle to tell you which approach is the right approach for Times Square, right? We can learn a little bit from you. But either in all three of the churches, singing still plays a vital role in their gathering. And what's interesting is when you look at religions worldwide, you don't hear atheists coming together to sing. You don't even see Muslims or Buddhists or Hindus coming together to sing. Now, some of them come together to chant. But in terms of singing, one of the defining characteristics of us as Christians across the globe is we are a singing people. And the truth be told, singing and songs, they play a formative role in our lives. Many times when a song comes on, guess what's one of the things that we remember? A moment when that song was deeply, deeply important and vital to us. I remember as a little kid, I grew up in a ghetto. We as immigrants, I grew up in a ghetto where it's shooting and all kinds of stuff going on. And I remember as a kid walking around, you know, trying to be a little gangsta and put on, you know, this CD Walkman in my ears. And I would listen to, I think a guy by the name of Coolio, and it had a song, "As I Walk Through the Valley of the Shadow," whatever that song is. And anytime I hear that song, brings me back to when I was 12-year-old, 13-year-old, trying to be someone. And then I remember when I met my wife, and one of the defining songs for me and my wife is the song "From This Moment." It was so important to me that even during the wedding, I decided to sing that song for her. Thank goodness my sister helped me. But when I hear that song, it brings me back to the image of my wedding and my wife. And then I remember the period when I was a youth pastor, and Michael W. Smith came out with this gold worship CD. And man, the song "Above All Powers and Wisdom" was on that CD. And you turn on that song and it brings me back immediately into that youth room when several hundred young people were singing that song. Right? Songs, they bring us back and they play an important role in different areas of our lives. I remember when my wife and I, we had a miscarriage, our first baby, and the song that we turned to in that season. Songs play a formative life, a formative part in our lives. Well, as Christians, singing, there's a theology of singing that's also crucial for us to know. And so in the couple minutes that I have, I want to share with you three things that singing does, okay? One, singing is an act of worship. Two, singing is a means of discipleship. And three, singing is a means of evangelism. Okay, so let me kind of jump into a little bit from, and this is comes from Psalm 96. "Sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory amongst the nations." So number one, in our theology of singing, singing is an act of worship. When we sing, we sing to bless his name. Can I tell you, there are people around the world, they gather together to blaspheme the name of Jesus. They gather together to curse his name. They gather together to make jokes about him and about Christianity. And yet when we gather, we lift our hands and we lift our voices as an act of worship. Why do we sing? Because singing is an act of worship. Throughout scripture, singing is a commandment. It's not a suggestion, it is commanded. Whether or not you've got a good voice, right? You are commanded to sing. There are over 50 commands in the Bible directed to us that tell us to sing. It is singing is mentioned over 400 different times in the Bible. The longest book of the Bible is a book of what? A book of Psalms. The New Testament commands us to sing in Colossians 3:6. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. Or Ephesians 5:19, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. In Zephaniah, the Bible says, well, in Zephaniah, the book of it says that God sings over his people. I read for you that Jesus would sing with his disciples as they gathered together for the Last Supper before going into Gethsemane and the cross. Jesus sings with his disciples. And the last words of Jesus on the cross, those words are taken from a song in the Old Testament. In the pain and agony, he's quoting prophetic words that were spoken years before. Why do we sing as Christians? We sing as an act of worship. We sing to worship. The second reason why we sing is because singing is a means of discipleship. It's a tool that forms us. Psalm 96 verse 2 says, sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. When we sing, we declare theology. We tell of his salvation, and that theology, it forms us. It edifies us. It builds us up. It encourages us. The truth is, singing and song shapes our thinking. It forms us. And the more we sing truth, the more that truth shapes us. Aristotle, he said this, music has the power to form character. Music, song, singing has the power to form character. Plato, he said this, let me make the songs of a nation, and I care not who writes its law. You know what I would say? Let me write the hymns of the church, and I care not what their theology statement says on their website. Let me write the songs of a church, and I care not what the declaration is somewhere in the bylaws. Because singing and songs, they form us. It is through singing that our doubts and fears can be corrected and relieved. And this is why we as believers, we must sing songs rich in good doctrine. I was at a pastor's conference a couple years ago in Alabama, and one of the most fastest growing churches, a church that reaches thousands of people. And the pastor at this event shared a season of their church where they were growing and numerically every year, thousands of people. But they noticed that they tracked baptisms, and they noticed that though people were still in attendance in church, their baptism numbers evened out. They stopped growing. Yes, the people were still being baptized, and there were thousands of people coming to church, but somehow baptism numbers stopped. And so that was a red flag for him. And he said, listen, gathered with their team. And he said, we have to look into it. What's going on within us that we're not seeing people taking a next step in their growth in Jesus? And there were other signs that says, you know what, we kind of hit a moment. And if you would come on a Sunday, you'd see thousands of people. Yet, some of these signs in terms of people taking their next step, next right step in the spiritual journey, it stopped. And so with their board and with their team, they went to a season of evaluating and kind of looking at things. And one of the things that the team came back with, he said, listen, something changed in the last couple months. And again, some of these things are good, but what happened is their stage, they got 27 screens. And when I was there at the conference during the worship time, you're just standing there with like, your mouth drops like, whoa, all these moving pieces and smoke bombs and, you know, everything else is just beautiful. I mean, it's like, you're in awe. And what they said is, listen, we noticed that there's such an awe on the stage that people aren't singing. The worship team is singing, but people aren't singing. And then the other thing that we noticed is like, we were on this wave of every song is a new song. And so every time there's a new song, I mean, every song is a new song and the people don't know new songs. And so they're just standing sort of, you know, kind of watching you sing so they can kind of catch the melody. They don't want to be off key, you know, if they try to join you. And it's like every song's a new song and the stage is such an awe. And the pastor said, we noticed that the crowd stopped singing. And so he said, we met with our worship teams and he said, listen, let's... and the media team, he said, listen, I like the screens, but no moving pieces during the service, right? We're like, you're flying in an airplane, you know, you're watching the city and the towns while you've got words. And you're distracted. He said, no more moving pictures. And he says, I like new songs, but let's get some of the older songs too so that people, you know, can close their eyes and they know the words now. And what they noticed too is now then as they kind of brought things back, the people began to sing. Now, there were some other changes they made, but as they made some of those changes, what they saw, the Baptist numbers began to go up again. You know, one of the things I notice about my kids, like the songs we sing in church, they're going to be singing them in the car. They're going to be singing them when they're playing with toys. They're going to be singing them when they're walking our dog, right? And songs, they form us. And so as a church, right, we want to sing some songs that are rich in good doctrine because that's what forms us. Now, knowing that singing forms us, I want to encourage you, one, sing for yourself. Memorize some songs. Right? David, when he would be going through different struggles, what would he do? He'd sing to himself, hope in God. He'd command himself, right? So I want to encourage you, sing, because those songs will form you and they will form your worldview. The second thing I want to encourage you is, and some of you have no tradition at all about this, but bring some singing back into your homes. One of the things that really, I fell in love with my wife deeply, one of the first things was that when I came to visit her in her house, you know, we kind of hang out on the sofa a little bit, and all of a sudden in the kitchen, I hear the mom and the dad, they started singing. I was like, are they playing some kind of a CD or something? But no, it's just them singing. And I just love that about her family. Like every time they'd come together, there's a moment, it's like they start singing. And I brought that now as a tradition now to my family. And so we know for us, like Christmas, right? We're opening presents, we're gathering family. But at some point, everybody's doing stuff, playing with the toys. But at some point in Christmas, when we gather with the family, we call everybody together and guess what we're doing? We're doing some carols. We're singing together. When we gather for Thanksgiving, we're enjoying the meal, we're enjoying the turkey. But at some point, with the family, if I'm there, it's just a tradition. We're going to sing some songs. And, you know, times have changed. We don't have everybody pull out hymnals. People pull out their phones. But we're going to sing some songs. Because songs form us, sing by yourself. Because songs form us, sing with your family. Because songs form us, sing with the congregation. Right? One of the most important things that we do as a church when we gather is the act of singing. And the New Testament church writers, they command us to sing. Again, Colossians, let the word of the Lord dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And to the Ephesians, Paul says, when you gather, you address each other in songs. Can I tell you the singing part of the church ain't this warm up for just the message? There's an element that is forming us in our theology as well when we sing. So singing is an act of worship. Singing is a means of discipleship. Singing is a means of formation. And then the third thing is singing is a means of evangelism. The writer of Psalm says, declare his glory among the nation, his marvelous works amongst all the people. Psalms 108:3 says this, I will praise you, O Lord, amongst the people. I will sing praises to you amongst the nation. God never intended his praises to be confined to the ears of just believers. I remember when I first took my mission trip when I was 15 years old. We went on a mission trip with this grandpa to Ukraine. And, you know, that was the day and age of Billy Graham and Reinhard Bonnke and David Wilkerson, these great evangelists that would go out on the streets and preach. And so I'm 15 years old and I want to be the next Reinhard Bonnke. You know, we go to Ukraine, we go to the marketplace. And so before the grandpa's going to give us a chance to preach there in the marketplace, he says, well, we got to sing a song. A song's going to gather the crowd. So we pull out some hymnals. I'm 15 years old and we start singing a song. And we start singing, the crowd gathers, a bunch of people come together in this marketplace. And so we finish the song and I feel, all right, this is my moment to shine. So as a 15-year-old, I get up, there's like a little box, I stand up and I start preaching. And non-believers, they're just gonna be raw with you. They're gonna be open with you. They don't know that you can't interrupt the preacher. And so I start my sermon and this guy raises his hand. He says, hey, can you guys go back to that song and sing that song again? Like, how rude. But hey, this is a non-believer completely, and something about that song that just took root in his heart, right? So when we sing, here's two things that are happening in terms of evangelism. One, we're declaring our unity amongst the body of Christ. You take the song of Amazing Grace, translated to so many languages, and when we are singing it in Pennsylvania and Seattle and Calcutta and India and China and Europe and Africa and South America, as we're singing, we're declaring to the world of our unity, right? And the Bible says there's something about our unity telling people and our love amongst us declaring and evangelizing, and it's a statement of faith when we're united. And so when we sing, we declare our unity, which is evangelism. And when we sing, the words, they just come in a unique kind of a way into the hearts of the people, right? And those songs, they penetrate deep. And, you know, people will oftentimes remember the message you preached and the points that you had. But the songs, they'll just keep on singing them. They'll keep on repeating them in their mind and in their heart. In light of that singing is an act of worship. And singing is an act of discipleship, a means of discipleship. And singing is a means of evangelism. Practically, I just want to share this with you, kind of a takeaway for you. One, when you gather with the church on Sunday, prepare your hearts. Come earlier to service, right? There's some families in every church, no matter what time the service time is, they're always just going to be late, right? You move the service time from 10 to 10:30, right? Before they'd show up at 10:15, now they're showing up at 10:45. Like, no matter what, that's just the way they roll, right? Can I tell you, you're missing out on the theology of singing and what it does for you. You're missing out on the blessing that it can be for you and for your children. Come early. Prepare yourself. Sing. One of the things I was just fascinated to see, because those are some of the things we're trying to do with our church, is seeing your kids with you during singing. It would seem like, right, during the singing, they kind of can go out, but then during the sermon, I mean, the pastor's sermon, the kids got to hear the pastor's sermon. But can I tell you, like, them being present, there's just things being done and wired in their brain and thought and worldview that you could never put a finger on. But as they're singing their songs, as they're repeating those songs, my goodness, it'll bear fruit years to come. When they're far from the Lord, or maybe they're going through doubt, or they're going through fear, they're going through struggle, right? There's going to be a song that will rise up in their heart, a song that they might have heard years ago on a Sunday morning at Times Square Summit, right? So come early as a family. Participate. Sing. As you sing, right? If you're one of those people that just doesn't sing, guess what you're doing? You're practicing plagiarism, right? You're not giving glory to God for what he's done. Be a participant in worship. Job, in the hardest time of his life, when he's lost everything, what does the Bible say Job did? The Bible says, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and worshiped. And worshiped. And he said, naked I came from the mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He worshiped. So no matter what you're going through, how you're feeling, right? Singing is so vital and so foundational to us as believers. Just like Corradio Spafford in the hardest time of his season in his life, he turned to God in a song. May we believers be known as singing people. We sing. Others can do different things, but we are a singing people. I remember reading about a church called Soul Survivor. We're struggling. Also similar to the church I shared in Alabama, going through a kind of a dry period where they just were not feeling the presence of the Lord in their gatherings. And just feeling, you know, no spiritual growth, no numerical growth. And so Pastor Mike, he noticed that, you know, on the stage, things look good, but there just seems to be no presence. The people aren't singing. And now his worship leader was a very famous worship leader by the name of Matt Redman. I mean, imagine having the famous worship leader like that, right? And yet he comes to him and he says, listen, let's get rid of the sound system for a season. Let's get rid of the band for a season. We need to shake things up a little bit. And Matt Redman, he writes about this season saying, okay, this was sort of like, okay, do I need to find another church? What's going on? But he says, you know what? We adjusted. And he said, we wanted to hear the voices of people again. And so with the sound system off, and again, this was a short period, he said, we started singing with their voices. See, one of the things they noticed was that the pastor wanted the people to be producers of worship, not just consumers of worship. And those are different things, where you are producing worship and not just standing there consuming things, right? We live in a day and age, we're so distracted. There's so many things going around us, right? And our mind's in one place and we're hearing one thing and the screens are saying another thing. We live in a very distracted world and we've brought that into worship too. We're sort of like our mind is listening and hearing. We're consuming it where our thoughts are somewhere else and our bodies sort of wanting to be in another place. It's like, no, let's bring them back into one. And instead of just being consumers of worship, let us produce singing and produce worship. Now, that experience in that church led to some awkward silence and some awkward Sundays. But people began to embrace this a cappella singing together. And during that season, a new song was born for them called The Heart of Worship. where the words say, when the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, and the words, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You look much deeper within than the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. And the song says, I'll give you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you required. And I'm coming back to the heart of worship because it's all about you. Church, Christians, believers, we are a singing people. And we sing because the act of singing worships God. We sing because the act of singing is a means of discipleship. And we sing because the act of singing is a means of evangelism. I want to invite you to stand to your feet. I do want to invite the worship team back. I want us to have a moment of prayer, but also then just a moment of a song together. Moment of a song together. As we pray, I want you to reevaluate your heart. And some of you, maybe that's just a moment to say, Lord, thank you for the gift of song, right? And just a moment to reflect and thank the Lord for the gifts of song. For some of you, it's a moment to say, Lord, how can I bring singing back into my home a little bit more? I get the privilege of driving my kids to school a couple days a week. And you know what one of the things I do? There's always a moment. We're doing some scripture memorization and we're doing some spelling practice. But there's always a moment. It's like, hey, kids, is there a song on your heart that you guys want to, any of you have a song? And we'll pull up Spotify and we'll turn on a song together. And it's just as simple as listening to a song together, but practicing it, letting the words then form our children and their thinking. Because the world out there and the movies and everything else, it wants to form them too. But it's like, no, let's bring some songs. And so as you reflect in time of prayer, maybe it's praying, Lord, how can I bring singing into my home? Because that's such a rich history of us as believers, how can I make that be more of a part of my family? Maybe for some of you, this is a reevaluation. Say, okay, I've honestly, during Sundays, I've been kind of just standing around and not really singing and haven't heard myself sing in a while. Lord, forgive me. I want to bring that practice back into my life of singing. Singing. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the gift of song. Jesus, you and disciples sang together. You've taught us, Lord, and in your word, you've commanded us to be people that sing. Father, I pray for every individual in this room and every family represented. Lord, I pray that singing and discipleship and formation and good theology and good songs are a regular part of our diet, of our spiritual diet. Father, I pray for this church. Lord, I pray for every time that they gather together to sing. Lord, may this be an act of worship that is pleasing to you. But also, Father, I pray that these songs take deep roots in the hearts of every soul, in the hearts of our children, of our students, of every family. May those songs form us, change us, edify us, lead us to repentance, lead us to joy, lead us to celebration, lead us to prayer. Father, I pray a blessing over this congregation. Lord, I pray for every home. Father, mark every home. Lord, may in every home there may be a song that arises. Father, a song that arises. May we be known as singing people. May Times Square Church be known as a singing church. May Times Square Church people be known as singing people. In the name of Jesus. In every season, and every day, Father, may we be found worshiping you and honoring.